Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the nature of God was recorded at our 2009 Raleigh-Durham Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
You know, I'm going to use an example here. I hesitate to do this, but it's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. There is one television program that I watch. I have to admit, I watch one television program and I've watched pretty much all of them. I'm not going to tell you which one it is. Some of you will know when I give this example. But anyway, the President of the United States, their daughter killed a person and they presented this to the President. And what are you going to do? And the husband of the president, you can't do this to our daughter. And they begged and they pled and they did all of this stuff. And finally, the president walked off, did some things, came back, said, I love you. I'm sorry that all these things have happened. And you thought that, man, she was about to cave in. And then she says, but you know what? I've taken an oath and I've sworn and you are wrong. And the marshals are out here to arrest you. And man, when that happened, I said, yes, amen. Somebody finally operated in integrity and did the right thing. You know what? If you were the son or the daughter of the president and you did something, most of us would like to say, well, you're the president. You can do whatever. Forgive this. Ignore it. Give me a pardon. But you know what? If you are a person of integrity, you would do what's right, even if it's your own child. See, some people just don't have this degree of integrity, and so they don't see this potential dilemma. But God is holy and just. And God placed a judgment on sin of death. And that sin has to be paid for. And even though God loves us, God could not just sit there and say, oh, well, I choose to ignore this. You know, there's people that say, how could a loving God do this? Because God is a just and a holy God. Our God is a God of love, but He is righteous and holy. And there has to be a judgment on sin. There is right and there is wrong. And God will never deviate. His love will not cause Him to just, oh well, I forgive you. No, there has to be a payment made. But you know, here's where that example pales. Or fails, is that presidency went ahead and had their daughter arrested. But you know, if you were to make this a comparison with God, here would be what God did. We come to God because we've heard that He's a God of love. We say, can't you just forgive me? Can't you just look the other way? Can't you act as if I've never done anything? And because He's God, no, He can't. That sin's got to be judged. But then after He pronounces judgment, that you know what? Because you've done this, the soul that sins, it dies. The wages of sin is death. You're doomed. You're damned. He passes judgment on you. He brings a gavel down. But then He takes His robes off and walks around the corner and says, you know what? I'll take your judgment. And I'll die in your place. That's what happened. Jesus took our place. There had to be a judgment paid. And God didn't just commute the sentence and say, well, it's over with. God cannot change. He cannot lie. But brothers and sisters, here's the point I'm trying to get across. If you could understand that when Jesus died, it wasn't a token sacrifice. He didn't just die in principle. He didn't just give His life because somehow or another that was a part of the puzzle. Jesus paid the complete debt that you owed. Jesus went to hell and literally suffered in hell. Jesus died physically. He took the sin of the entire universe into His own body on the tree. And He paid the sin debt that you and I owed and wiped it out. And I'll probably go into more detail on this sometime this week. I won't spend the time right now to say it. But He didn't just pay for your sins up until the point that you got born again. And then every time you sin, thereafter you got to get that sin back under the blood. According to the scriptures, Hebrews chapter 9 and 10 and 12, He paid for all of your sins, past, present, and even future tense sins. Even sins that you haven't committed, He's paid for. Even the sins of people who aren't even born yet, that haven't even committed sin yet. Jesus paid the entire sin debt of the entire world at one time, and sin has been eradicated and defeated and destroyed. And if you could understand that, then it would deliver you from this sense of guilt and condemnation that holds us back. It would deliver you from this performance-based thing that, oh, I've got to do this and this and this before God can heal me and before God will love me and before God will accept me. And that I've got to do all of these things. We need to understand that when Jesus paid the price, He paid it all. And there is nothing left for you to do except to say thank you and reach out and take what was offered. And if you are still under a mentality that, oh, I've got to also live holy and earn these things and be worthy of God using me, then you dishonor Jesus. You pollute His sacrifice the moment you mix it with your own goodness. Anytime you mix your blood with His blood, you defile it. You can't do that. And yet, basically, this is what religion has done. They can't ignore the sacrifice of Jesus, so they say, oh, yes, you've got to believe in Jesus, but then they turn right around and you've got to be holy and you've got to do this. And if there's any sin in your life, God won't answer your prayer. And if you haven't done this and if you don't do this, and they just put all of these things down and all of us are on this treadmill trying to perform and do all of these things and become worthy enough for God to heal us. You know, if you could understand the price that Jesus paid, it's this same thing that we do in our judicial system, that you can't have double jeopardy. You can't have a person pay for the same crime twice. You can't punish two people for the same crime. If a person has been sentenced and has already paid their time, you can't rearrest them and make them pay again. Jesus has already paid for our crime. Jesus has already paid the debt that we owed. And if you have to bear any blame, then it's the same as if Jesus didn't pay. That's double jeopardy. Jesus has already paid it all. Look at this passage over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's basically saying the same thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself. Remember the wording over there in Colossians chapter 1? That we were alienated in our minds and in wicked works, but now He has reconciled us by the blood of His cross. Here we were reconciled. He hath reconciled us unto Himself by Jesus Christ. The word reconcile means to make friendly, to bring back into harmony. When you tune a guitar, you're reconciling those strings. You're harmonizing those strings, bringing them into harmony. When you reconcile your bank book, you take the statement that the bank gives you and you take your account and you have to reconcile them, make them to where they say the same thing. We have now been reconciled to where God loves us and there's no adverse sentence against us. We've been brought back into harmony, into friendship. There's no animosity between God and us. Man, that is a wonderful statement. We are reconciled. Notice it says that He hath reconciled. That means it's past tense. Hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Ministers are supposed to be telling people that God's already paid your debt. Your sin's already paid for. God's not angry. It's already provided. Now all you have to do is believe and receive, or doubt and do without. It's up to you. Believe and receive. That's the ministry of ministers. And yet most ministers are saying you aren't reconciled. God won't move in your life until you do this, until you quit smoking. God won't do this. Until you quit drinking, God won't do this. We had a question among our prayer ministers about if a person comes up and if they aren't saved, should we get them saved before we pray for them? No, you don't have to do that. You can get them healed. Matter of fact, it's actually easier to get a lost man healed than it is a Christian.
Amen.
Some of you don't understand that, but you hadn't ministered to a lot of people. Christians think they have to be worthy. A lost man knows they aren't worthy, and you tell them, say, Jesus wants to heal you, and they say, really? And you say, yes. And they say, well, I have had it. And they don't put any of their works in the way. There's nothing to get in the way. But man, a Christian will say, oh, I know God wants to heal me because I've been fasting and praying and being so good. And that just becomes a barrier that stops the power of God. It's easy to get a lost person healed. And so anyway, you don't have to become worthy to have God move in your life. Now, we told them, it says, as soon as they get healed, you tell them, now, would you like to serve the God who healed you? And take that as an opportunity to introduce them to the Lord. But we have been reconciled to God, and we have been given this ministry of telling people about the goodness of God, and that God has reconciled you, and that God has paid the debt, and that you don't have to add to it. You can't add to it. Any attempt to add to what God has done is actually a subtraction. It subtracts from what Jesus has done. You've got to get to a place where you depend upon Jesus and what He has done for you only, and don't mix it with your own goodness. Does that mean that you don't live right? No, you do live right, because it softens your heart towards God. It's a testimony to other people, but it has zippo to do with God loving you more. He doesn't love you more if you live holy. He doesn't love you less if you don't live holy. You will love God less if you don't live holy. You will love God more if you do live holy, but it doesn't affect God's attitude towards you. It'll affect your attitude towards God. Everybody get that? That's important. And this is what we should be ministering to people. It says in verse 19, to wit, that's old English for that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the nature of God. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Raleigh-Durham Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM236 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, a number of months ago, we introduced the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. This is a Bible program where you get three versions of the Bible, 4 Bible dictionaries, study helps, maps, Greek and Hebrew words defined, and my footnotes on like 12,000 verses in the Bible. And the reason that I call it a living commentary is because it's still coming out. And there are updates every month, up to 400 verses of new footnotes every month. And so I advertised that a number of months ago, and we've had thousands of people take advantage of that. Just this last week, I decided to take these updates that we were charging for, the monthly updates, and we've now made them available free. So this has really increased the benefit of this program. And I encourage you to call and request information about the Andrew Womack Living Commentary.